The title of the message today, you'll see this as we go on here, it is what not to do, what not to do. And we'll begin reading chapter number 4 of the book of Hosea. I'm going to read this whole chapter, but I'm actually going to deal with the first 11 verses of Hosea. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel." Now, I'm going to back up here, and I'm going to reread this. And where it says, "ye children of Israel," I want you, in your mind, as you see this, I want you to see, "ye children of Open Door Baptist Church." So I want you to put yourself into this story. That's what I've always been taught to do. You want to get something out of a story that somebody has written, make yourself a character of that story. So whatever character that you want to be in this particular story, put yourself there. And this will make much more sense to you. So when it says the children of Israel, you say to yourself, the children of Open Door Baptist Church. Again, let's read. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priests. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and a prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. There shall be like people like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart." Read this again. "Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Though thou Israel play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Their drink is sour, they have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love, give ye the wind that bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices." Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we ask you to work in our hearts and lives. Lord, I know that you have put this matter into my heart, into my thoughts this week, because you want this message to be delivered. God, it's not my intent to come and point fingers at people. Lord, I am not here to do your job and to do the convicting. I'm here simply to deliver a message that you have put upon my heart. So God, I pray today that we all here will receive it well. I pray that our hearts would be challenged. Challenged to the point that every single one of us in here will begin to examine our own motives, our own thoughts, not worrying about the person next to us, in front of us, or behind us, but to truly focus on making changes within ourselves so that we can be a better believer for you. Lord, without a doubt, we all need improvements in our lives. We all fail thee daily. There's none in here that is perfect. God, I pray that you just work in these next few moments. God, we are missing our pastor this morning, and without a doubt, he is missing us. God, I pray that you would continue to raise him up stronger, better than ever before. Lord, there is nothing too small for you. There is nothing too big for you. As Jeremiah said the other night, you are the great, you are the mighty God. There is nothing too hard for thee. So God, I pray that you would answer this prayer. Lord, I pray that he would come back and fill this pulpit and continue to give us the word that you have called him to preach. We thank you for his love. We thank you for his faithfulness to your people. More importantly than that, Lord, we thank you for your love and for your faithfulness to us. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. Well, God is good, no matter how you look at the situation. And I know that we just read here a particular passage that probably didn't seem very encouraging. And you're probably wondering, Chad, where are you going to go with this? And I hope to show you in the next few moments of what God has laid upon my heart. And I believe it's a direction that I see the church of this world, where it is heading. And I'm not particularly talking about our church. I'm just talking about the church in general. And I see some things that are scary. I see some things that are concerning. And I see some things that need to be addressed in our world today. In the book of Hosea, Israel is referred to as the whore. Or you can say the dishonored wife. With that being said, because she is considered the whore or the dishonored wife, there is hope for Israel. And that hope is God is going to restore her. Looking forward to that. They have obviously had indulged their lifestyles into that of one that broke the heart of God. With that being said, you and I have lived some lifestyles, or perhaps maybe living some lifestyles that is breaking the heart of God. And we need to change our thought process. We need to have a change of attitude and look at things the way God looks at for us. Israel had been unfaithful to God. And here comes a man upon the scene named Hosea, who had to deliver a very distinct message. A message, again, no different than that of Amos that we went over last week, or a few weeks ago, warning the people of the judgment that's going to come to them if they do not restore themselves to God. What do you mean by restoring themselves to God? Coming to the place in life where they have acknowledged that their sin, and with that being said, our sin as well, keeps us from God, keeps us from having a relationship with Him. So they were warned to walk away from their lifestyles that were serving false gods, that were a lifestyle that was not pleasing to God, and say that they were called to repent, to recognize that they needed to turn away from those things, and to turn to God. So Hosea had to deliver a very distinct message to them. Israel is not merely apostate and sinful, but her sin takes her away from the exalted relationship into which she has been brought. Hosea begins to tell them what they had been charged with. And later on, as we go through this, we will see these charges that they are accused of. And we just read them, but we're going to rehearse them just a little bit more. So he begins to tell them what they have been charged with, the very crimes that had caused them to become known as the adulterous wife. Remember this. It's recorded in the book of Malachi. Their wickedness, and they've been warned several times by many prophets, your major prophets, your minor prophets, had come along and they have preached the gospel to have them realize what they were doing. But they refused to walk away from their sinful life. And here's what took place at the end of Malachi. God was silent for 400 years. 400 years of silence of God not speaking to them. 400 years of silence of God not working in their lives. 400 years of silence. Some of us can't handle 4 seconds of silence, or 4 minutes of silence, or maybe 4 hours of silence. Silence can drive a man crazy. And 400 years of God not talking to them was 400 years that they'll never get back. They were given many opportunities to return, and their sinful way of life did not change. So why does this happen? Because I believe this starts in verse number 1. Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. Hosea, just like many other prophets, had instructed them to hear the word of God. And on many different occasions, as prophet after prophet after prophet came along the scene, warning after warning, rehearsal of the judgment that's going to come their way, here's what took place in the lives of those people. No different than the lives of us as well today. They turned a deaf ear to the gospel. They turned a deaf ear to the preaching of God's word. They showed no respect for their Creator. It was an affair that was not done in secret. So many times in our lives when we sin, we try to do it in secret. We try not to let others know about what we do. But let me tell you this. You might not know about mine. I might not know about yours. But God Almighty knows everything. There is nothing that we can keep from God. We all have skeletons in our closet that we don't want no one else to see. But God already sees those things. So this wasn't done in secret. It was done out in the open. God had a problem with how they were living. He was disgusted by their very behavior. But he still loved them and wanted to restore them. And I always looked at this as a picture of a mom and a father when it comes to dealing with their kids. And when their kids do something wrong, the parents are absolutely disgusted with them. They're horrified at the fact of what they've just done. And so they take correction upon that young child's life to restore them. That's how I look at this picture. But today, God deals with this same problem. Not just with Israel, but God deals with this same problem today with us Gentiles. With us believers. The ones who profess and proclaim to know his name. The ones who have been excited to be saved from hell and to be with him for eternity. God still deals with that same problem of people this day not listening to the word of God. People neglect to listen or to even pay attention to the word of God. Without a doubt, as soon as I opened up my Bible, there are probably people in here that have already checked out. One, they might not like the preacher. Two, they might not like to hear the word of God. Three, they just check out altogether. They're just here so people can see them. There is a refusal to hear the word of God. You didn't come here to hear me. You came to hear the word of God. With that being said, that is an outright slap into the face of God. Today, believers do anything and everything to get out of going to church. Then they get offended when that is even mentioned from the pulpit. We have a serious problem that we can't even give God. Think about this. I'm not very smart in math. You guys know this. I do know what 2 plus 2 is. I'm good with basic math. That's about it. After that, I'm lost as can be. But I do know this. We struggle by giving God 4 hours out of the week to come to this church. We struggle with those things. Ah, God, you're not important right now. I gave you an hour this morning. Isn't that good enough? 4 hours. But yet, we can probably give 40 hours to television, books, other things of that nature. But we struggle to give God 4 hours just to hear his word preached. I love hearing the word of God preached. You know, I just don't listen to the sermons that are here from pastor or from our missionaries or our evangelists that are here. I go about every single day listening to message on a daily basis from other men of God that give the word because I have such a desire to learn and grow from his word. But we struggle with those things. It's called being faithful to God. He deserves so much better from us. And we let him down when we're not doing these things. Understand something. These last few weeks, I've been dealing with how the church should function on Sunday nights. And if you missed out on that, you're missing out on something really spectacular, to be honest with you. Not because of what I'm saying, but because what God is doing. The first church had such a great love for God that they met daily. They met daily. Meaning a day didn't go by without meeting God in the temple. They had a desire to be around the men of God that would give them the message. They had not only a desire to be around the men of God that would give them a message, but they also had a desire to be around the family of God. Which is why I'm so, these last few months, I'm promoting so much about learning how to fellowship with one another. Just being in each other's presence. Helping each other out. Educating each other, edifying one another. But I'm going to go on and I'm going to give you a list of 9 things that Hosea goes on and lists that caused them to become known as the adulterous wife. And this list might fit some of us here today. And if so, I hope and pray that things will be made right between you and God. So again, as we begin reading this list, I'm going to start off in verse number 1. And again, put yourself in this story here. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. The first problem that took place with this group of people was this. There was no truth. They shut out God, they rejected the truth. There was no mercy, nor was there any knowledge of God in the land. Could you imagine walking around our town today and having absolutely no knowledge of God? That he even exists, that he even created us, having no knowledge of who he is. Having no knowledge of his great miracles that he performed. Having no knowledge of how God sent his own son to die on a cross for you and for me. Having no knowledge how no man could kill him, but he gave up his life for you and me. Having no knowledge that as he laid in the grave for 3 days and three nights, that he raised himself from the dead. Having absolutely no knowledge of God. How horrifying is that? I can't imagine living in a place of that nature. But we do today have the knowledge of God. And I'm going to ask you a question. What do you do with it? What do you do with the knowledge that you have of God? Do you keep it yourself or do you distribute it to others? Do you share with others? So no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God whatsoever. Goes on and begins to make the list, number four. It says, by swearing and lying. You know, today we have been surrounded with a theme that's called fake news. I said earlier in our Sunday school class, I gave up watching the news. And you want to know why I gave up watching the news? Because there's absolutely no truth that's coming from those things. Well, you say, well, they give the weather. They have no idea what the weather's going to be. That's a lie in itself. I mean, come on, think about those things. We have people that are constantly lying about this, that, and the other thing. You know, I used to have a problem with that. I remember that as a young person, I would lie to cover up a lie to cover up a lie. You know, and it was hard for people to believe me. They labeled me as an habitual liar. Some of you folks don't remember that, but that's something that has always stuck out in my mind. When somebody called me, Chad, you're an habitual liar. There's nothing worse when somebody doesn't tell you the truth. No man was telling the truth. They were constantly lying. It goes on. And we read about here, it says, in killing. Murders were taking place in homes. Murders were taking place in the streets. It was out there. You know, the other night we had something tragic happen in our town. Some folks probably know about it. Some folks probably haven't heard about it. But I believe it was on Thursday morning, about 3:45 a.m. There was a call that went out to the police department, the fire department. And that phone call was this. There's a 24-year-old girl who was shot in the chest. And they took her to UNMC in critical condition, and she died before she even got there. Murders, killings that are on the streets. And it's not just happening with the older folks that we might think of. It's young folks that are getting involved in lifestyles that aren't pleasant. And some will get involved in gangs. And the reason why they get involved in gangs is because they're accepted. They've been rejected by their families. They've been rejected by their so-called friends. And they get in these gangs and they're accepted. But upon that, they got to do some things to stay in those groups. And so there's killings that are going on in our world today. You know, I used to feel safe as a young person, walking out the house as a young kid, not having to worry about things. The only time that I got scared was, I don't know if you folks remember this, when Jeffrey Dahmer hit the news. That's when I got scared. And things have changed ever since then. People fear for their own lives. Just a few weeks ago, as we were traveling in Alabama, minding our own business, having fun, just out of nowhere, Jeff didn't realize what he's doing. He couldn't see him, but somebody was speeding up the highway. By the way, just to stay with the flow, I was doing 85 miles an hour. I can say that, Doc's in heaven today. And somebody was coming up so fast, Jeff didn't see him, and Jeff turned over into the lane, and they go swerving off, and they start honking their horns. And the next few moments could have got really scary because of my family that was with me, they knew what took place. They passed us, and they rolled their windows down, and their hands began to come out the window. You know what I thought was going to take place? I honestly thought there was going to be a gun going off. See, we live in some unsafe times. We live in a world where nobody values the other person's life. Here today, gone tomorrow. We need to value each other's life. So there's swearing, there's lying, and there's killing. Oh, by the way, you might say, Chad, I've never killed anybody. The Bible says if you have hatred in your heart towards a brother, you are guilty of murder. You cannot walk away from that. And I'll be honest with you, I have killed a lot of people in my heart, and I'm guilty. Lying, killing. It goes on, it says, and stealing. You couldn't leave your valuables at home. You couldn't leave them locked up in the camel at that time, because that's what they had, camels, donkeys, horses. They didn't have car alarms. They didn't have spotlights that would come on automatically when somebody would walk by. But stealing was rampant in the day. You know what? It's still going on pretty heavy over in Israel. When I was there 2 years ago, they told us, our tour guide says, you guys have got to walk close. He goes, I'm going to give you a signal. Every time I say the word cloud, he goes, that cloud word means there's somebody coming up that's going to try and pick your pockets. And sure enough, we heard the word cloud quite a bit in Jerusalem. Stealing is going on in our world today. You can't trust anybody. I remember a day that people used to leave their doors unlocked when they left to go to work. I'm going to tell you this. I'm still partial to that. I figured if you want it, you can have it. I don't want to come home to a busted window or a busted door. You want it, you can have it. Go on in, take it. You want to know where I live? I'll give you the address later. But stealing, it takes place. Think about this. You know, you and I are guilty of stealing time. What do you mean stealing time? We steal time from God by not being here when we should be. We're guilty. We're thieves. We're dirty, rotten thieves. We steal things. I don't know if any of you ever had anything stolen from you, but you feel like you've been violated. I remember a few years ago when Chris and I got married, it was our first year being married. I drove around in a Fiero GT. Man, I thought I was the king of this world in that small car. Had a mid-engine in there. Man, that thing got around great in the snow. Not to mention, I looked great in it at that time. Not so more today. If I was in that thing today, I probably wouldn't even get out. It sits so low. But I remember driving that thing, put a lot of miles on it. My wife and I, we got married in the car. Not in the car, but the car was a part of our life. And I remember getting that car after we got married. Her dress took up so much of the view, I couldn't see out the passenger window. And that car was just fun to have. And I remember we were living in Sherwood Apartments at the time, and it was in the wintertime, and I came down to go to work, and I noticed that my car wasn't there. And the reason why I checked on it, because there had been a few times that I forgot to put the emergency brake on, and I parked on a hill, and the car went back on a few occasions. So which is why I got into the habit of going out there, making sure that I put it in gear and the parking brake was on and all that stuff. I went out there one particular morning, and it was gone. Somebody stole it from me. I felt violated. I felt taken advantage of. I let my guard down. Lying, killing, and stealing. Number 8, it goes on, it says, and committing adultery. Committing adultery. You know, there are so many men and women that cannot remain faithful to their spouses today. They see somebody that they look at and lust after. They think they got to have it, and they're willing to throw away their marriage just for one night of passion. Let me put it to you this way. It's not one night of passion, it's one night of sin. That's what it is. Let's be real here. So you have homes that are being split up because mom and dads decide not to be faithful to one another. I say this with pure excitement and pure joy. I'll be married for 27 years, and she's the only woman I've been with. And I'm thankful for that. Have we made mistakes? Yeah, we made mistakes. But that's been my wife. She's been faithful to me, and I've been faithful to her. But people are so willing to throw their lives away. You know what? Think about this. You and I, we commit adultery against God. We do. We're not faithful to Him the way we should be. Chad, you seem like you're sounding pretty harsh. No, I just see the direction of the church that it's going in today. And it scares me. It truly scares me. What's the church going to look like 10 years from now? When we are gone from the scene, are our children going to come in? Are they going to continue to serve? Or are they going to come back and say, you know what? I seen mom and dad act this way in Hosea, so I'm going to act the same way. Committing adultery. Goes on and says, they break out and blood touches blood. Blood touching blood, it flowed until stream met stream. That's what that meant. A different definition is they were full of evil. Continuously flowing out of their systems. And God wasn't pleased with this. As we go on, as we read this, we're going to end here very quickly. Verse 6 through 11, God tells them what will happen to them because of their lack of knowledge. And as we read this, I'm going to close in a word of prayer. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, but because they have left off to take heed of the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. You see what it did to the hearts of the people? It drove them away from God. It drove them away from God. What we are doing in our lives today will either drive us further to God or it will drive us away from God. I'm 46 years of age. I've seen a lot of people walk away from God. And I don't want to see that to continue in my life. I want to see people walking closer to God every single day. I want to see people that are seeking the truth. I want to see people who are distributing mercy. I want to see people who are knowledgeable of God, giving up swearing, giving up lying, giving up that lifestyle of being a murderer, a killer, one who is a thief, who steals, breaks in, takes things from you that you have acquired in your life. One that walks away from committing adultery. One that will close up the streams that are flowing with evil. Because there is judgment that will come from God. There is judgment that will come from God. And that's what is being warned here in the book of Hosea. You might sit there and think, well, I've gotten away with it. Yeah, you might got away with it for that point in time in life, but I will tell you this. If you're a child of God, you won't get away with it much longer. There are some things that happen in my life that I often wonder, God, are you getting me back for something I did 20 years ago? I thought I got away with it. It's funny how those things come to your mind when that happens. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. Our sins will be found out, and they have been found out. I tell you what, as I read this week, this is for my own personal devotions this week. This really opened up my eyes. How have I been? How have I lived my life? Have I been this person? As I said before, some of this that's in here might fit a lot of us. There are some things that I look on this list, and I sit there and say, wow, that's me. I look at it again, wow, I got another one I got to add. Wow, you're giving me 3, 4, 5, 6? I don't want to be that person no more. I don't want my heart to be drawn away from God. I want my heart to be drawn to God. And you might understand why I'm so adamant on some things when it comes to church attendance, when it comes to being faithful to God's house. Because I know what happens in my life when I'm not around. Can I share something with you? A lot of you folks don't understand this. I might not even know it. You know, there's times I don't want to be here. There's times I'd rather be at home. There's times I'd rather just be sitting and relaxing. But I do know this. If I do that, my heart will be drawn away from God. My relationship will not be the same. I just know that about me. I don't know that about you. I just know that about me. I go through those emotions. I go through those feelings. But I'm glad I'm able to get up and say, devil, you're not going to win today. You're not going to win today. You might put those thoughts in my mind, but I'm not going to allow you to have victory in my life today. See, I struggle with those things too, which is why I preach about it. Because I know if I struggle with it, you folks struggle with it. You know, I'd rather be sitting with Pastor right now, being an encouragement to him, edifying him. That's where my thoughts are at. So I'm no different than anybody else in here. And so I know that I struggle with some things. I know my heart gets drawn away, and I know this about me. But I will say this, even though I might have those thoughts and those actions might be there sometimes, you know what I'm really thankful for? Is a God who forgives me of those things. Because there's many different occasions I got to bow my knee, close my eyes, and ask God to forgive me for allowing those thoughts to come into my mind. Because we're all guilty of it. Every single one of us. Hosea says it very clearly here. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for your love. God, I know I've opened up my heart just a little bit. God, I pray if there's anybody here that struggles the way that I do on occasions, I pray, Lord, that they would give it to you. Don't allow Satan to be that voice in their head or in their mind, trying to get them to walk away from you, trying to get them to not to seek to have a relationship with you. God, I pray that you would guard this church. I pray that you'd guard your people here, protect us from a world that wants to destroy us. Lord, we know that none of us here are perfect. We know that. And so, God, I pray this morning that if there's somebody here, I know I haven't really talked about salvation, but God, if someone here isn't yet to accept you as Lord and Savior, I pray that you just do the work that needs to be done. And we ask it in your name. Amen.